Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is love. To that above, before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. Each other flows the sympathizing tear. This mutual love revives our courage in expectation lives and longs to see the day when from all sin and pain the ransom shall be free and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity.
Thank you, brothers. We have an administration to take care of. I think we'll do that at this time, Brother Kenny. Well, it gives me great pleasure this morning to stand up here with my brother to introduce him to you all. I believe everyone here knows him, but for those of you who may not, that's our Brother Ricky Olson from Independence, one of the bishops, world traveler, been to Africa and other places. And I know that the Lord has used him. I've heard him preach before, and I've enjoyed his sermons, and I know the Lord has used him behind this desk. So I ask now that you would prepare your hearts and your minds to receive the message that he has from the Lord this morning. Hold him up in your silent prayers, our Brother Ricky Olson.
Well, good morning. I'd like to start this morning out of the Book of Mormon. And I've got a lot of scriptures to read this morning. And was really interesting, the Sunday school class this morning. It's this, some of the scriptures that were used were right around the same chapters and some of this and the same subject of what I'm going to talk about this morning. So I feel like that if I don't accomplish anything else here this morning, at least your local ministry got a break and didn't have to come up here and preach. Because I certainly feel like none of this information is new to anybody here. And there's probably a good chance, or I know there's a good chance that there are those here that can do a better job with this subject than I can. But I'll give it a try, and hopefully you'll benefit from it. But I'd like to start reading out of the Book of Mormon on page 36. And this is 1 Nephi, 1 Nephi, 3rd chapter, starting in verse 179. And neither will the Lord suffer that the Gentiles shall forever remain in that state of awful woundedness, which thou beholdest that they are in because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church, whose formation thou hast seen. Wherefore, saith the Lamb of God, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles, unto the visiting of the remnant of the house of Israel in great judgment. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after that I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant, And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after that I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of which I speak is the seed of thy father. Wherefore, after that I have visited them in judgment and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, and after that the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been taken back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb. Wherefore, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them mine own power, much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, and they shall write many things, which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after that, thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren. Behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock, and my salvation. And blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure to the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. I chose to start with this part of Nephi's vision because it speaks of the Book of Mormon and the coming forth of the Book of Mormon and the gospel having been returned. But the subject that I really want to concentrate on this morning is the subject of Zion. In the coming forth of the Book of Mormon was clearly in God's plan. And part of its purpose is for the gathering of Israel, also in the restoration of the gospel, but also the establishment of Zion. And that is part of its purpose. And that's the part I want to talk to this morning. And there's a lot of opinion about Zion, what it is, where it will be. What is it? Is it going to actually be a place, or is it just something that we have in our hearts? And I think it's both, that it is an actual place, and it's also in the hearts of God's people. And as we read here, in the final verse that I read, it said, "Blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost." And as this Church of Christ reaches out into the world, as God directs it to go out into the world, Zion will go with it, and it will go forward by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that's happening today, because we are seeing the beginning of the gathering of Israel. We're seeing the beginning of... We have in our hands the Book of Mormon, which was at the beginning of all of that. And so that's a good place to start. I'd like to go to page 99 in your Book of Mormon. And read out of 2 Nephi, the 5th chapter, starting in verse 17. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift my hand up to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their faces towards the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me." And now I, Jacob, would speak somewhat concerning these words. "For behold, the Lord hath shown unto me that they which were at Jerusalem, from whence we came, have been slain and carried away captive. Nevertheless, the Lord hath shown unto me that they should return again. And he also hath shown unto me that the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, shall manifest himself unto them in the flesh. And after that he should manifest himself, they should scourge him and crucify him, according to the words of the angel which spake it unto me. And after that they have hardened their hearts and stiffened their necks against the Holy One of Israel, behold, the judgments of the Holy One of Israel shall come upon them. And the day cometh that they shall be smitten and afflicted. Wherefore, after they are driven to and fro, for this saith the angel, many shall be afflicted in the flesh and shall not be suffered to perish because of the prayers of the faithful. Wherefore, they shall be scattered and smitten and hated. Nevertheless, the Lord will be merciful unto them, that they shall come to the knowledge of the Redeemer, and they shall be gathered together again to the lands of their inheritance. And blessed are the Gentiles, for they have of whom the prophet hath they blessed are the Gentiles, they of whom the prophet hath written, for behold, it is it for if it so be that they shall repent and fight not against Zion, and do not unite themselves to the great and abominable church, they shall be saved. For the Lord God will fulfill his covenants which he hath made unto his children, and for this cause the prophet hath written these things. Wherefore, they that fight against Zion and the covenant people of the Lord shall lick up the dust of the feet, and the people of the Lord shall not be ashamed. For the people of the Lord are they which wait on him, for they still wait for the coming of the Messiah. And behold, according to the words of the prophet, the Messiah will set himself again the second time to recover them. Wherefore he will manifest himself unto them in power and great glory, unto the destruction of their enemies. When that day cometh, then shall they believe in him. Here again, it speaks of Zion and the coming forth of that. And it talks about Judah in that they rejected Christ. And in how in prophecy later on that they will accept him. It also talks about all those that will be part of Zion, those that are members of his church, those that are not part of this abominable church, the mother of harlots, and those that wait upon the Lord. And it speaks of the Gentiles, who are to be the nursing mothers and the nursing fathers unto Israel. And that is us, those that wait upon the Lord. And so there's a great work for us to do in the coming forth of Zion, in the spreading of this gospel that should go out to all the world. But it also tells us here that Israel will be gathered unto its own lands of inheritance. And we know that through the Book of Mormon, who is to inherit the land of the Americas. And so that tells us that there's to be two places in the earth, one in Jerusalem and one in the Americas, where Jerusalem will be gathered together. So Zion, or the kingdom of God, will exist on earth in two places, wherever his people are, whether it's in the Americas or whether it's over in Jerusalem, not just one place. And so we have a tendency to think of Zion as the center place. And what I'm talking about is two center places, not just a center place. And whether it's physically in the center of the church, geographically or not, I don't think it's meaning that. It's talking about where the church will move out from, where it will be governed from. That is the center place. So just like the United States has a capital, and Washington, D.C. is not necessarily in the center of the United States, and not necessarily the place where everybody is gathered around, but certainly the government goes out from Washington, D.C., and the nation is ruled by it, by that same place. And that's Zion. That's how I think of Zion, is there will be a physical place for Zion, but it won't necessarily be right in the center. So that kind of gives us the idea from these two scriptures that there will need to be two places. I'd like to read some more out of the Book of Mormon on page 113. 2 Nephi. Starting in chapter 7, verse 7. There is none other nation on earth that would crucify their God, for should the mighty miracles be wrought among their nations, they would repent and know that he be their God. But because of priestcrafts and iniquities, they at Jerusalem will stiffen their necks against him, that he will be crucified. Wherefore, because of their iniquities, destructions, famines, pestilences, bloodsheds shall come upon them. And they which shall not be destroyed shall be scattered among all nations. But behold, thus saith the Lord God, when the day cometh that they shall believe in me, that I am Christ, then have I covenanted with their fathers that they shall be restored in the flesh upon the earth unto the lands of their inheritance. And it shall come to pass that they shall be gathered in from their long dispersions, from the isles of the sea, and from the four parts of the earth. And the nations of the Gentiles shall be great in the eyes of me, saith God, in carrying them forth to the lands of their inheritance. Yea, the kings of the Gentiles shall be nursing fathers unto them, and their queens shall become nursing mothers. Wherefore the promises of the Lord are great unto the Gentiles, for he hath spoken it, and who can dispute? But behold, this land, saith God, shall be a land of thine inheritance, and the Gentiles shall be blessed upon the land. And this land shall be a land of liberty unto the Gentiles, and there shall be no kings upon the land, which shall raise up unto the Gentiles. And I will fortify this land against all other nations. And he that fighteth against Zion shall perish, saith God, for he that raiseth up a king against me shall perish. For I, the Lord, the King of heaven, will be their king, and I will be their light unto them forever, that hear my words. Wherefore, this cause, that my covenants may be fulfilled, which I have made unto the children of men, that I will do unto them while they are in the flesh. I must needs destroy the secret works of darkness, and of murderers, and of abominations. Wherefore, he that fighteth against Zion, both Jew and Gentile, both bond and free, both male and female, shall perish. For they are they which are the whore of all the earth. For they which are not of me are against me, saith our God. For I will fulfill my promises which I have made unto the children of men, that I will do unto them while they are in the flesh. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, thus saith our God, I will afflict thy seed by the hand of the Gentiles. Nevertheless, I will soften the hearts of the Gentiles, that they may be like unto a father to them. Wherefore the Gentiles shall be blessed and numbered among the house of Israel. Wherefore I will consecrate this land unto thy seed, and they which shall be numbered among thy seed forever, for the land of their inheritance. For it is a choice land, saith God unto me, above all other lands. Wherefore I will have all men that dwell therein, that they shall worship me, saith God. We know that this is speaking of the Americas, this land, and the Gentiles are blessed in this nation. And if we think back in the history of this nation, how God's hand worked in it to establish it, that there might be freedom of religion here, that it would be possible for the gospel to be restored here, that it would be possible for this Book of Mormon to be revealed and given unto the Gentiles so that the gospel will go forth and eventually go out to Israel, that Israel can be gathered in, and that the Lord Zion can be established, whether it be in this land or the land of Jerusalem. And so the Lord definitely has his hand in it. And in the beginning of this nation, we can look back and we can see that it's much different than it is now. And we can certainly see that we are in those days, those end times. If we compare the attitudes and the lifestyles of people nowadays compared to the ideas and the attitudes and lifestyles of long ago in this nation, it's an offense in many public places to speak of God. It's offense quite often in our schools to speak of God. And that wasn't so one day. So we can see as we look to our past of this nation and we look to the future where it's going, that we can see it slowly, slowly ripening in iniquity. And that too is in the Lord's plan. And if you think of Zion, what Zion is to be, it's to be a place of refuge also, as it is also the center place to the Lord's kingdom. And I believe that Zion is with us now. And as the church is God's kingdom here on earth, and that in reality is Zion, so wherever the church is, the nation of Zion, so to speak, or its citizens are there. So Zion is here in Arizona. It's in Independence. It's in Kenya. It's in the Philippines. It's in Yucatan and Honduras, because that's where the citizens of Zion are. And if we think about the kingdom of the devil, and as it says here, all those that do not that aren't for God are against God. And if we think of all those that are against God, those that are part of that abominable church, those that are part of that mother of harlots, those that fight against God's kingdom, everybody else, those are those that are part of the kingdom of the devil. And the kingdom of the devil exists wherever its citizens are. And so the devil's kingdom covers the whole world, wherever God's kingdom is not. But there is a center place. There is to be a center place for God's kingdom, a place for His laws to go out from, center place of government. And so I'd like to go to 2 Nephi, chapter 8. And this is on page 116. And start in the 15th verse. And now I write some of the words of Isaiah, that whoso of my people which shall see these words may lift up their hearts and rejoice for all men. For these are the words, and ye may liken them unto you and unto all men. And the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it came to pass that in the last days, then the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come, yea, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And I find this real interesting when I think about Zion and I think of how this is particularly written. And in the 17th verse, this is the word that Isaiah and the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Well, in the 16th verse, if you skip up a little higher, it says, now these are the words, and ye may liken them unto you and unto all men. And I just thought that was interesting that he didn't make a distinction between Jew and Gentile there. He just said all men. And so this is instruction for everyone, not just Judah, or not just those of Israel. And it's all men. And in this passage, he's talking about the last days. And I believe we're in the last days. I think most of us here probably accept and understand that we are in those last days when God has set His hand the second time to gather in His people. And when He uses the word mountain of the Lord's house, He's talking about the government of the Lord's house. And the mountain, in a prophetic term, represents a government or a seat of government. And it's going to be established in the tops of the mountains. And so it'll be a government that's override and supersede all other governments. And it'll be exalted above all the hills and the nations. And it says here in the 19th verse, it says, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And that word Zion speaks to me a little differently. It speaks of the center place where His government is, but it also to me means His nation, wherever His nation is. So Zion will be as large as Zion needs to be. Wherever the Lord establishes His people. And so when that gathering in begins, He will already have the citizens of His nation. And so wherever His citizens are, that's where Zion is. And so when that gathering begins, then the citizens will become more centrally located wherever that center is, in on this continent or in Jerusalem. But Zion will have already existed, I guess is the point I'm trying to make. But the physical place of it may not be. And we look for... And one of the things we look for in the gathering, as part of the gathering, is for Judah to return to Jerusalem, or Judah, or Israel, to be established as a nation, which it has. But we look for the gathering of Judah back into Israel, for them to go back to their land of inheritance, and for Jerusalem to once again become that center place as it once was in the days of old. And when that begins to happen, then I think the gathering here in this continent will begin to happen. And the Lord will gather His people all at the same time, all at once. So as we look forward to this Zion, the gathering in of Zion, or the gathering in of His people and His nation, we can look at one time that I believe that will happen at coexist at the same time. So the building up of Zion in those terms, I think, already is happening. Each time a member is added to the roles of the Church of Christ, each time there are new churches established in India, that is part of that gathering, because there have been souls added to the nation of Zion. Those people are added to the kingdom of God. And so before there can be a gathering in, the seeds must be sown. You can't have a harvest until the crops grow up and there are fruits. And so that's the part that we're in, where those seeds are being sown and the crops are being planted and numbers are being added. And each time a member is baptized, each time a soul is added to the kingdom of God, that harvest is being prepared for. And that gathering is being prepared for. At least that's the way I look at it. I'd like to go in 2 Nephi, page 145. And this is quite a long reading, and I'm going to read a lot this morning. And I've only gotten a third way through. That's giving you a fair warning. I'm going to have to cut this short. I really struggled with this on what scriptures to leave in and what to leave out, and I may have left too many in, but I'll try to speed this up and cut it down a little bit as we go. But on page 145, 2 Nephi, 11th chapter, starting in the 77th verse. It says, "And when the spirit ceaseth to strive with man, then cometh speedily destruction, and this grieveth my soul. And as I spake concerning the convincing of the Jews that Jesus is the very Christ, it must needs be that the Gentiles be converted also, that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, and that he manifesteth himself unto all they that believe in him by the power of the Holy Ghost, yea, unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, working mighty miracles, signs, and wonders among the children of men according to their faith. But behold, I prophesy unto you concerning the last days, concerning the days when the Lord shall bring these things forth unto the children of men, after that thy seed and the seed of thy brethren shall have dwindled in unbelief, and they shall have been smitten by the Gentiles, yea, after that the Lord shall have camped against them round about, and shall have laid siege against them with a mount, and raised forts against them, and after that they shall have been brought down low in the dust, even that they are not, yet the words of the righteous shall be written, and the prayers of the faithful shall be heard, and they which have dwindled in unbelief shall not be forgotten. For they which shall be destroyed shall speak unto them out of the ground, and their seed shall be low out of the dust, and their voice shall be one that hath a familiar spirit. For the Lord God will give unto him power, that he may whisper concerning them, even as it were out of the ground, and for their speech shall whisper out of the dust. For thus saith the Lord God, they shall write the things which shall be done among them, and they shall be written and sealed in a book, and they have dwindled in unbelief, shall not have them, for they seek to destroy the things of God. Wherefore, as they which have been destroyed speedily, and the multitude of their terrible ones shall be as chaff and passeth away. Yea, thus saith the Lord God, it shall be at an instant suddenly, and it shall come to pass that they which have dwindled in unbelief shall be smitten by the hand of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block, and they have built up many churches. Nevertheless, they put down the power and the miracles of God, and preacheth up unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning, that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor. And they are many churches built up, which cause envyings and strifes and malice. And there are also secret combinations, even as in times of old, according to the combinations of the devil. For he is the founder of all these things, yea, the founder of murder and works of darkness. Yea, he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord, until he bindeth them with strong cords forever. For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you, the Lord worketh not in darkness. He doth not anything save it be for the benefit of the world, for he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, Depart from me? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he saith, Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, buy milk and honey without money and without price. Behold, hath he commanded that any that they should depart out of any out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship. Behold, I say unto you, nay. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he hath given it free for all men, and he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men unto repentance. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, nay, but all men are privileged like one to another, and none are forbidden. He commandeth that there shall be no priestcrafts, for behold, priestcrafts are that men should set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they might get gain and praise of the world. And they seek not the welfare of Zion. Behold, the Lord hath forbidden this thing. Wherefore, the Lord God hath given a commandment that all men should have charity, which charity is love. That's a long reading, and I hesitate a lot of times to take things out of context. But I wanted to really just draw in everybody's mind this picture. That of the scripture that we're all familiar with. We're all familiar with what it's speaking about, the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. And it's speaking of the persecution of the peoples in the Book of Mormon. And it talks about everything we know that's happened in the church history. But it refers all to this, and it gets down to this last verse in 106 that I read. And it says that they seek not the welfare of Zion. And when I read all of this, and I read about these different churches and having priestcrafts and what they build up, and that is the kingdom of the devil, that kingdom that is not part of Zion, that kingdom that is not of the Lord's. And so when I put Zion into the terms of it being not just the center place, but the nation of God and the peoples in that nation, all these scriptures make more sense to me. Because I can see where those that are practicing priestcrafts, those that are fighting against the coming forth of the gospel and the truthfulness that God has, those that are teaching false doctrine that lead people away from God's kingdom, I can see how they are fighting right now, literally against Zion. And it just makes more sense to me to think of it in that term and not just to think of Zion as just a central location or a particular city that everybody is to be gathered to. Although I believe that it is that as well. And so I'd like to read some more in that same chapter. Just a little bit more. Picking up in the 108th verse, it says, "And except they should have charity, and they were nothing. Wherefore, if they should have charity, they would not suffer." Excuse me. This is, "And except they should have charity, they were nothing. Wherefore, if they should have charity, they would not suffer the labor in Zion to perish. But the labor in Zion shall labor for Zion, for if they labor for money, they shall perish. And again, the Lord God hath commanded that men should not murder, and that they should not lie, and that they should not steal, and that they should not take the name of the Lord their God in vain, and that they should not envy, and that they should not have malice, and that they should not contend one with another, and that they should not commit whoredoms, and that they should not do none of these things. For whosoever doeth them shall perish, for none of these iniquities come of the Lord, for he that doth that which is good among the children of men. And he doth nothing save it to be plain unto the children of men. And he inviteth them all to come unto him and partake of his goodness. And he denieth none that cometh unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. And he remembereth the heathen, and all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. But behold, in the last days, or in the days of the Gentiles, yea, behold, all the nations of the Gentiles, and also the Jews, both they which shall come upon the land, and they which shall be upon their lands, yea, even upon the lands of all the earth, behold, they will be drunken with iniquity and all manner of abominations. And when that day shall come, they shall be visited by the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and with great noise and with storm and tempest and with the flame of devouring fire. And all the nations that fight against Zion and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. Yea, it shall be unto them even as unto a hungry man which dreameth, and beholdeth, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or like unto a thirsty man which dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, and he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. Yea, even so, the multitude of all the nations that fight against Mount Zion. For behold, all ye that do iniquity, stay yourselves and wonder, for ye shall cry out, and cry, yea, ye shall be drunken, but not with wine, ye shall stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. For behold, ye have closed your eyes, and ye have rejected the prophets, and your rulers, and your seers hath he covered because of your iniquities. And then it goes on and it says, and it shall come to pass that the Lord shall bring forth unto you the words of a book, and they shall be the words of them which have slumbered. And he's speaking again of the Book of Mormon. But what I think is interesting here in terms of Zion, it's in the up here in the 109th verse, it says, but them that labor shall labor for Zion, for if they labor for money, they shall perish. And then it goes on, and it tells about, in the 110th verse, about murders and stealing and all the manner of iniquities that shall not exist in the kingdom of God. And those things shouldn't exist in Zion. And it says in the 111th verse, for whosoever doeth them shall perish, for none of these iniquities come of the Lord. For he doth not doeth that which is good among the children of men. And so that describes to me Zion and the kingdom of God. And it talks about in the 118th verse, and it says, all the nations that fight against Zion and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. And it shall be unto them even as in a hungry man which dreameth. And behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. And or like unto a thirsty man which dreameth. And behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh. And behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. And we know that speaks of the time of the apostasy, when those that fight against Zion will not have the Spirit of the Lord with them, and they will be in darkness. And we know that to already have happened. But when I think about the last days and where we are as a nation, we are coming back to that many of the churches of the world have fallen again into that apostasy, that what light they once had in them has dimmed. and gone out. Well, I'd like to go to the book of Ether. I'm going to kind of speed it up and skip a little bit, and I'm kind of running out of time. On page 750, and this is Ether chapter 6, starting in the first verse. And now I, Moroni, proceed to finish my record concerning the destruction of the people of which I have been writing. For behold, they rejected all the words of Ether, for he truly told them of all things. For from the beginning of man, and now after that the waters had receded from the face of the land, it became a choice land above all other lands, a chosen land of the Lord. Wherefore the Lord would have that all men should serve him which dwelt upon the face thereof, and that it was a place of the new Jerusalem, which should come down out of heaven, and the holy sanctuary of the Lord. Behold, Ether saw the days of Christ, and he spake concerning a new Jerusalem upon this land, and he spake concerning the house of Israel, and the Jerusalem from whence Lehi should come. After that it should be destroyed, it should be built up again, a holy city unto the Lord. Wherefore, it could not be a new Jerusalem, for it had been in the time of old, but it should be built up again, and become a holy city of the Lord. And it should be built up unto the house of Israel, and that a new Jerusalem should be built up upon this land, unto the remnant of the seed of Joseph. For the things which there has been a type, for as Joseph brought his father down into the land of Egypt, even so he died there. Wherefore, the Lord brought a remnant of the seed of Joseph out of the land of Jerusalem, that he might be merciful unto the seed of Joseph, that they should perish not, even as he was merciful unto the father of Joseph, that he should perish not. Wherefore the remnant of the house of Joseph shall be built up upon this land, and it shall be a land of their inheritance, and they shall build up a holy city unto the Lord, like unto the Jerusalem of old. And they shall no more be confounded until the end come, and the Lord shall pass away. And there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, and they shall be like unto the old, save the old has passed away, and all things have become new. And then cometh the new Jerusalem, and blessed are they which dwell therein, for it is they whose garments are white through the blood of the Lamb, and they are they which are numbered among the remnant of the seed of Joseph, which are of the house of Israel. And then also cometh the Jerusalem of old, and the inhabitants thereof. Blessed are they, for they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And they are they which shall be scattered and gathered in from the four corners of the earth, and from the north countries, and are partakers of the fulfilling of the covenant which God made with their father Abraham. And when these things come, it bringeth to pass that the Scripture saith that there are they which were first, these are they which were first, and which shall be last, and there are they which were last, which shall be first. And it was about to write more, but I am forbidden. But great and marvelous are the words of the prophecies of Ether. But they esteemed him as naught, and cast him out, and he hid himself in the cavity of a rock. By day and by night he went forth viewing the things which should come upon the people. And so here in Ether it speaks of the Jerusalem of old being built back up, and that new Jerusalem being established in Joseph's land. And so we know that there's to be a gathering of his nation, and we know that there is to be a nation of Zion, and that Zion is to have a place of government, and that there will be two places of government, one in Joseph's land and one in the land of Israel. And so I believe that as we look forward and try to understand as things go happen and prophecy is fulfilled around us, I think it's good for us to understand that we're already citizens of Zion, and that Zion is already being built up. But then someday that temple will be built, and we're to have part in that. And so I think it's important for us to try to understand how, just exactly how we are to take part in that too. But I thank you for your time.